Tell you, if you can't get excited about the resurrection, excited about Easter Sunday morning, there's something wrong with Christianity. If you're not going to be able to worship today, there's something that you need to work on. That's for sure. Because this is an exciting day, and the title of this morning's message: why is the resurrection such a big deal, or why is Easter such a big deal? And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul put something out there. It's the one that we know of about the gospel. It is something that Paul is giving the doctrine of the resurrection from the dead, and how vital and how foundational a doctrinal issue it is. It's the essential part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If Christ had not come out of that tomb, it would mean a lot of different things. And that's what Paul is speaking about. That's what Paul is talking about. He's writing to remind the resurrection is essential to salvation and for any hope to heaven. So this morning, we're going to look at the thought: if Jesus was still in the tomb, if Jesus never came out, what would that mean? And that's what they're looking at here. And it proves to us why the resurrection is such a big deal. It looks like here in verse number 12, it says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" And there must be somewhere inside this group of believers, there's a group that's saying, hey, Christ never rose from the dead, and that there's no resurrection of the dead. We remember back in New Testament times that there were Sadducees that believed that, and how from that standpoint, that it had kind of trickled down, and they're saying, hey, look, it's not a big deal. We don't have to believe that fantasy. We don't have to believe that story. And Paul begins to just pick it apart and say, if he never rose from the dead, there's a reason why it's a big deal. Because if he never rose from the dead, and he responds, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And he says, and if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are all found false witnesses of God. Because we have testified to God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. If so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we look at this passage of Scripture, and there's some people inside this church that's struggling with believing an important part of the faith, a foundational fundamental of the faith, that you rose again. And Lord, I know that that's a sticking point for some. Some say that can't happen. It's a fable. And Lord, by faith, we believe this. Not only do we believe this, we celebrate this. Not only do we celebrate this, we tell the world about it. And God, I pray that as we look and consider this, that we'll be reminded of some truths that maybe we struggle with believing. Some things that maybe we doubt. Some things that we maybe don't understand. And like we learned earlier, that the disciples, when they questioned, all they had to do was turn to you. All they had to do was ask. And Lord, you were more than willing to explain. And Lord, how you spoke plainly later on that chapter. And they even said that you spoke plainly to them. Lord, today, help us to have some victory. Help us to have some rejoicing and some hope and some joy found in the reason why the resurrection is so important. Our faith is secure. Our faith is not in vain. Our future is secured. Lord, there is a hope because of the fact you came out of that tomb. Lord, help us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So for a few minutes, we like to look at it from maybe what some would consider a negative side. If Jesus was still in the tomb, the first thing is, if Jesus is still in the tomb, then we have no foundation. Our faith is rest upon the fact that Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. If we don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead, then there's a problem. Everything else that we have built upon that foundation, it will crumble. Look what it says once again in verses 12 and 13. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Paul reminds us that there is no resurrection from the dead, that Jesus then did not rise. And if he is dead, then everything we believe and comes crashing down around us. If there is no resurrection from the dead, then Jesus himself is no better than tens of thousands of others who have gone off before us. Even those who have claimed to be God, even those who said, hey, I am God, God has sent me. I was reading the other day, it was an article that popped up, and there was this guy who, somewhere in Georgia, who says he was the one that was the fulfilled Messiah, and he's coming to coming back, and God sent him to be the Messiah of the world, or the Savior of the world. But he's getting arrested and getting tried for different rape and different other things because he's some type of cult leader. That guy someday is going to die, and he's never coming out of the grave. The difference about Jesus is he came out of the tomb. And because he came out of the tomb, it makes our faith valid. Many times people will misspend a life. And I was thinking about this, that in a little while it talks about that we're false witnesses. And I think about some different religions out there that don't believe the same we believe about Jesus Christ. And the false religions that they have something. As we read this and say, hey, our foundation is gone. There's no sense preaching. There's no sense of having faith in this. There's no sense of all these different things. The reality is that applies to a lot of people in this world that are chasing a false God. And what makes them different is that fact that Jesus has risen from the grave and that he was God and that he offers salvation to all. If there's no resurrection from the dead, then the very system of our belief we cherish so deeply is nothing more than just another false religion that offers life and hope to no one. And that's the reason why the resurrection is so important, because without the resurrection, there would be no life. There would be no hope. If Jesus is dead, then our system of belief is dead. Our foundations have crumbled beneath us, and we might as well no way get up at 6:30 in the morning to come to church. And I know you're saying 6:30, Pastor. I had to get up at 5:30. And I'm pretty sure I was awake before most of you guys were today. But I don't know that to be 100% confident. But in all reality, the reason why we're here is to celebrate and remind what happened that morning and the excitement that happened. And now we have that chance to present it to someone else that comes in today. Get our hearts ready for worshiping the Lord on Easter Sunday and our Easter program, and just being a blessing and encouragement to anybody that might come in, and just get ourselves excited and making sure we're clean so we can truly understand what God is trying to teach us about this day. So not only is our foundation gone, our faith is in vain. Look what it says here in verses 14 through 16. It says, and if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he have raised up Christ, whom he raised up, raised not up. If so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. Now, once again, Christ is the one that said he was going to raise again. Christ is the one that was revealed to all these people and talked about the resurrection. If Christ was not the Son of God, then he was a liar. And if he was not the Son of God, or God himself that became man, the Son of God, he was a lunatic. Anybody else, that guy that's saying he's the Messiah, either he's crazy or he's just trying to get his way so he can sin and he can do whatever he wants and control a group of people. And if that's what Jesus did, Jesus was no good man. If that's what Jesus did, then Jesus was that liar, that lunatic. But that's not who he was. He was God that became man, who died on the cross and rose again for us. Either he is the liar, the lunatic, or he should be Lord. And he should be lords of our lives today because he rose again from the dead. And you think about it, our faith would be in vain if he never came from the cross. If our faith is found to be in a man who is a lunatic and a liar, then our faith is worthless. It does not matter. But our faith is not in a man that was a lunatic or a liar. Our faith is in the Lord. And because of that, our faith is in vain if he didn't rise from the dead. You think about some of the different things here. It says, verse 14, and if Christ be not risen, our preaching is vain. So not only is our faith vain, our preaching's vain. So why are we here? Why do I study? Why do you listen to it? I mean, how many other people are you going to listen to tell you, hey, this is what you need to get right, and this is what you need, and this is what you need? And it's because preaching is not vain. Our faith is vain. Our preaching is vain. the message that's been proclaimed over and over and over, it would be worthless. I mean, there would be no reason for Spurgeon or Wesley or Sunday or Jones or Edwards or all the different great preachers of the past that would get up and preach the word and preach the word and preach the word. If he didn't rise from the dead, all that would be vain, is what the Bible's saying. You keep on going. Not only does it say that our preaching would be vain and our faith would be vain. If Jesus was still dead, we're wasting our time serving and worshiping him. If Jesus was still dead, then we should just as well worship a rock or a tree or some type of statue. Our faith also, if he didn't raise from the dead, it says that we are false witnesses. Look what it says in verse 15. Yea, and we are all found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so that be the dead rise not. Paul tells us that all those who spread the Christian message of salvation through crucifixion and the resurrection, they would all be liars. All the times we've taught it, all the times we've said it, all the times we've believed it, all the times, we would be false witnesses. That's why the resurrection is such a big deal. Every time we open our mouths to sing, to witness, to testify, to preach, and whatever we do in his name, we would be liars if he did not rise from the dead. It was a beautiful song from the Ackleys, the congregation singing that we heard today. All that stuff would be in vain, because we would just be a false witness trying to teach some type of false god. That's the reason why the resurrection is such a big deal. Consider a moment the leap of faith that Paul must have done and experienced. Think about him being probably his wealth as a Pharisee, his social standing. He was ready to throw all that away just so he could preach the gospel, just so he could be persecuted, just so he could be shipwrecked, just so he could go through all those things. He was a man that was looked upon in great esteem in the community. Threw all that away. Why is that? His preaching would have been in vain if Christ hadn't come, if Christ hadn't risen from the dead. More importantly, probably what I think is the saddest part, if Jesus was still in that tomb, there is no salvation. Look what it says in verse 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. We'd still be in our sins. As if things couldn't get any worse, Paul now tells us that if Jesus isn't alive, then we are all still lost. We are all still hellbound, still in our sins this morning. The heart of the gospel message is the great truth that Jesus Christ left heaven above, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died on the cross to pay for our sins. But it doesn't stop there. The Bible goes on to say he rose again on the third day for our justification. If Jesus is still dead, then we cannot be justified. And we're still lost this morning. He is dead. He is not dead today. But if he was, then we are still looking for a redeemer. We are still looking for a savior. We are still all headed towards hell. Now I think about verses 18 and 19. It talks about the future. There is no future for a believer. At least not one of hope. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Speaking about those who have passed on already. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all of all men most miserable. So it's saying here that if he didn't rise from the dead, and if there is no salvation, then what's the future look like for you? There is none. Either we're dead and in the grave, and once we're dead, we're gone. Or we spend eternity in a horrible place called hell. If he's still in that tomb today, there is no future. And I think about what it says in verse 18, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. And I think about all those that have gone on before us. I know I'm older than some, younger than some, but I have friends and family that have already gone on that someday I'm looking forward to. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to seeing my Aunt Margaret, looking forward to seeing my grandmother, looking forward to seeing some of the saints who have passed on part of this church. And I got the opportunity and privilege to stand up and preach their funeral. And I got the opportunity to be able to share that someday you're going to be with them again. And someday you're going to be able to rejoice and worship the Lord and Savior in heaven. If they knew Christ and you know Christ, you get to spend eternity in heaven with them. That would all be a lie. If Jesus was still in that grave, that would all be a lie. None of that would ever happen. Next thing I want you to think about is, we would have, if he was still in the tomb, we would have lives that were miserable. Look what it says here in verse number 19. We are of all men most miserable. Paul is saying if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then every child of God has wasted his or her life living for Christ. If you believe a lie and you're headed to hell, then you've wasted your life. If the Bible lied about the resurrection from the dead, then you and I believe nothing. We can believe nothing that this book says. In all reality, this book would be nothing but a cruel joke. Trying to tell people to live for a God who loves them. Trying to tell people to give their lives and all those different things. To deny yourself, to take up your cross and follow after him. If Jesus was still in the tomb, that would be miserable. To think that you wasted your life. But that's not the case. These are all, if Jesus stayed in that tomb, it's a pretty bleak picture. If there is no resurrection from the dead, then we are all in real trouble. We all need to seek some type of help. We need to look to this world and say, please give me some help. But we already know the world has no hope. The world has no help. Praise the Lord, because Jesus did come out of that tomb. Praise the Lord, he did rise from the dead. And because he did rise from the dead, our foundation is firm. The bedrock of the doctrine of our faith is true. Jesus lives and Christianity stands. And the only valid reason why a lost sinner can come to heaven is because he rose again from the grave. It was the blood that washes that sin away. But how many men have shed their blood? But it was the blood of Jesus, because Jesus is the one who has died, but he has risen to live evermore. You go to Revelation, and in chapter number 1, it talks about our verse for the week, and it talks about how he was dead, and now he's alive, and to live forevermore, and he has the keys of death and the keys of hell. He's never going to die again, and that shows us that is a foundation that gives people hope for heaven. So not only is our foundation firm, our faith is fruitful. Our preaching has power. Our faith is real. Our witness can be true. Jesus lives and we stand vindicated in our faith and our claims concerning him. I don't have to worry about preaching at a funeral. Someday you'll see your loved one again, because it is true if you know God and they know God. I don't have to worry about those tracts that we passed out, hundreds of them yesterday, because of the fact that what it says in that is true. I don't have to be concerned with the people I've said, hey, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you'll spend eternity in heaven. It is not a waste of time to trust in Jesus. It is not an exercise in vanity to believe in God and the one that's called Jesus. He lives, and because he lives, our faith lives also. Now, you think about it, salvation is available. If you look back once again at verse number 17, your faith is in vain. Yes, you're yet in your sins. Because he lives, we are no longer lost in sin. Because of that, we've been delivered by the blood of Jesus Christ. No longer are we not justified, but we're justified by him. Now all our sins have been washed away. They are gone from the east to the west. We have been forgiven and we have been redeemed if we know him today. I wonder how many today, this morning, would say, Pastor, I've believed this lie for a long time. Not the lie that Jesus Christ is still in the tomb. I believe the lie that I didn't have to put my faith and trust in him. You're wasting your life today. And yet, like I said, how sad it would be if Christ was still in that tomb and we spent our whole lives just serving him and worshiping a dead man. But that's not the case. But how even worse is it for a person that knows about God and may even believe that Jesus died and rose again, but have never put their faith in him and say, oh, yeah, I know there's a God and I know that he died and I know that he rose again, but I don't see the reason why I need to embrace that. I don't see the reason why I need to put my faith and trust in that. And they believe that lie and they live their entire lives worshiping themselves, doing what they want, to waste their life away and then spend eternity in a horrible place called hell, because we're lost in our sins. We were all in need of a Savior. And unless you come to him, unless you turn to him, unless you put your faith and trust in him, you're believing a lie. You might say Christianity is foolishness, and there is a lot of people in the world today that call it a crutch and that call it nothing but, hey, it's a lie and it's absurd. But they're believing a lie that they're going to regret for all eternity while we're worshiping our Lord and Savior. our faith is fruitful. When we have faith and we believe, then we can spend eternity in heaven, because salvation is available to all who will come unto him. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. It's available to all. Next one is our future. It's secure. Because he did rise from the dead, our foundation is firm. Our faith is not vain. It's fruitful. Salvation is available, and our future is secure. As he told his disciples that morning, as they were leaving the upper room, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And continues on talking about the mansions, and continues on about his Father's house and how he's going and he'll return again. It is secure. You can write it down. You don't have to worry about it. You're not having to fly just waiting to see there comes an open seat. Instead, you're sitting there and you have a secure way to heaven. And the wonderful thing is, that loved one that you're looking forward to seeing someday, their faith, if their faith is genuine and true, it's secure also. You don't have to sit here and doubt, I wonder if I'm ever going to see him again. I wonder if this is ever true. And that's what Paul is saying here. He's saying, if Jesus did not come out of that tomb, if he is still dead, just forget Christianity. You're worshiping a lie. It's all vain. Preaching is worthless. All those things. It's what the world tells you. But we believe that the resurrection is true, and that's why the resurrection is such a big deal. Our loved one who died in faith, live on and wait for us in glory. There is a heavenly home waiting for all God's children on the other side. In this life, we can enjoy victory, but in the life to come, we will enjoy the presence of the one who died in our place on the cross. Yes, there's negatives that become positives. Like we talked about earlier, sorrow that became joy. And yes, we may sorrow some in this world because of the things that are happening and because of the millions that believe a lie, maybe even billions that are engulfed in some type of false religion or engulfed in some type of atheism or agnosticism or just simply, I don't think I need God, that lie. We're sorrowing after that. But when someone becomes a believer, that sorrow is turned to joy. As Jesus told his disciples that day, sorrow became joy. Why is that? Because they saw and they believed. This morning, I don't know what everybody's going through and experience. I just know what human life is like. Sometimes we groan. Sometimes we struggle. Sometimes we have problems. Sometimes we're sorrowing for reasons that are our own cause. But we can take that sorrow and make it to joy. What's the missing ingredient? Believing and trusting in him. If you will believe and trust in him and trust in his ways, sometimes when you're studying, you think, well, that would make a good message, and that would make a good message, and that would make a good message. And someday in the future, we might talk a little bit more about that sorrow, the joy, a little bit more in depth. But think about it. What does Jesus say is going to make you happy? In this world, we think drugs, sex, we think alcohol, we think getting our way. We think if you go and do a research and a study, those things that Jesus says makes an individual happy. He says even in these chapters of John earlier, walking from the upper room to the garden, he's like, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. He said, what things? He's given a list of things to follow, a list of things to live by. And he says, look, if you do these things, you're going to be happy if you do them. He's like, you mean I'm going to be happy following rules and guidelines and things like that? So Jesus said, if you're going to obey the law, then you're going to be happy. And I know the law does not save a person. I understand that. But he says, if you do those things which you know you're supposed to do, you're going to be happy to do those. And we don't have time to preach that message, obviously, but the thought process that goes behind it is, why are so many of us sorrowful like the disciples were those 3 days? Is we stopped believing that God can do the impossible. And even though he had told the disciples ahead of time, even though he had told the disciples he was going to rise again, they missed it. They didn't think it was possible. And inside that grave, for those 3 days, when they thought Jesus was in that tomb, what did they think? Boy, their life was miserable. They were still lost in their sins. Their preaching, everything they had done, it was in vain. Their future that they thought was going to be up in thrones, all gone. And for those 3 days, they didn't know he was coming out of that tomb. And their life was miserable. Now, if they would have believed, and I understand, you know, the different things about the Bible and some things being withheld. I understand all that. But if it was that first Sunday morning and we knew that Jesus wasn't going to be there, don't you think there should have been a big party? I don't know about you. If it was me and I knew Jesus was going to rise from the dead, hey, let's have a party out there and let's have him roll away this tomb and see that no one's there. Let's make it a celebration. Well, they didn't that day. But every year after that, you know what we do? We celebrate. We celebrate because the tomb's empty. And maybe they missed it that first Sunday morning. And what type of sermon that would have been if they could have got all the crowds out and say, hey, come. He said he's going to raise again in 3 days. There's been these Roman guards here the whole entire time. There's no other way to get out. Let's see what's in that tomb. Let's just have and look at it. And let's see what truth is. No one did that. But every year after that, we celebrate that. And every year we come and we look at it and we should make a big deal out of the fact that that tomb is empty, because the resurrection is a big deal. Because if he did not come out of that tomb, if he did not come out, our preaching would be in vain. Our faith is in vain. Our foundations are gone. Our future is gone. All those things. But he did. Our foundation is so secure. Our faith is so fruitful. Salvation is available to any who will come to him. And our future, for those who believe and trust in him, they're secure. And someday you'll be with that loved one. What a glorious day that will be. What a glorious day. So as we get ready to close this morning, first, an invitation to anybody who may not know Christ. You are lost in your sins. You are believing a lie. You do need him today. The Bible tells us that, and just knowing about him is not enough. It's repenting of your sin. It's believing and trusting in him, and you can do that this morning. You do not have to push that off. To the believers in the room, it's hard to celebrate when you're dealing with some of the things he has when we believe a lie. So what type of lie does a believer believe? I can't forgive. I can't do this, or I can't do that. This resurrection proves to us that everything he's ever said was true. And because everything he said was true, from the beginning to the end, we can have victory over sins. We can have joy. We can have peace. We can have love. We can have all those fruits of the Spirit. It's there, if you will only believe. This morning, do you know God? Do you know him as your personal Savior? Let's pray.